43 wonderful degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 4:07 and time for hour number two of the Jeremy Lawrence Show and 590 WKZO. And this portion of the program is brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house every Saturday from 10 to 2. Now, we talked a little bit about minimum wage in the first hour, and I wanted to turn the conversation a little bit because one of the conversations that continues to come up over and over and over again is Hillary Clinton 2016. And over and over and over again, you hear it where people say, oh, it's inevitable. She's going to run. She wants to run for president. She is running. You can just write it down. You can bank on it, that kind of thing. Well, a couple of pieces that I wanted to bring to your attention that kind of have me scratch my head a little bit are these. First of all, a former aide to Bill Clinton, and you'll probably recognize his name, is Mike McCurry. He was the former press secretary for the White House under Bill Clinton. He thinks that Hillary Clinton might not run for president. He says he's probably the last person in Washington who'd be willing to take some bet that she might not run. There's an awful lot of people think she's going to, that it's an inevitable deal. But he feels like there's some things that are weighing on her that she might not want to dig into it. First of all, he says, you know, at this stage in her life, she's going to be 65 when she's running. Could she do this kind of thing? Could she, you know, find herself hanging out in New Hampshire and talking to, and this is what McCurry says, is would she end up in Manchester, New Hampshire at the local Denny's shaking hands with lots of sometimes less than interesting local political people? Ouch. Obviously, Mike McCurry's not planning on doing running for anything.
No.
But, you know, the whole thing of going, well, all right, she could just do some things through the Clinton Initiative or whatever, the global initiative they set up. He also says that, you know what, she's becoming a grandmother. That might be something that would weigh on her a little bit, because you're basically saying, okay, I'm going to miss the first 10 years of my grandchild's life because you're running for president, you are president, you're running to be president again, and then you are president again. And that's assuming 8 years, plus the couple that it takes to run for this thing. The other thing that he talked about is some of the things that people associate with Bill Clinton, obviously Monica Lewinsky and everything that went with that, and every, you know, Travelgate, Hairgate, Whitewatergate, Nannygate, all the other things that went with Bill Clinton's presidency. People are going to go, oh, another Clinton. Oh, boy. Now, the other part of that, and I found this interesting, Bill Clinton said of her getting over the concussion that she had, because you remember she took a fall, and this was towards the end of her time as Secretary of State. She was down for a little while, and they said they'd found a blood clot, they thought, and, you know, she fell down, had a concussion. Well, Bill Clinton says that it took her 6 months to get over a concussion. 6 months to get over that time through rehab and that kind of thing. Now, you know, that might be somewhat true, but this is Bill Clinton we're talking about. So, you know, has he stretched the truth before? Let's think about that for a minute. Has Bill Clinton told a lie? Answer that.
Yeah,
anyway.
Don't answer that.
Best he can come up with is that I don't remember that. I'm sorry. I just can't recall. I don't remember. You know, so you can picture, Hillary took 6 months. I mean, it was 6 months that, you know, she worked real hard and she's better now. She's ready to go. But 6 months to get over a concussion. I've not had a concussion myself. No, I don't want one. I heard you ask for that. Just stop. But, you know, 6 months to get over that, there are going to be people that would say, well, wait a minute. What about her health? And, you know, let's go back to 2008 when she ran for the presidency, that whole 3 a.m. phone call. We all remember the commercial. You know, who do you trust? answering that phone call at 3 a.m. And, you know, we all know what that 3 a.m. phone call is because, you know, every president gets one, at least one. And she would know it because supposedly she was in the same room with Bill when he got them. But that might turn against her now. It might be that, well, wait a minute, she's had some problems. Would we trust her with that 3 a.m. phone call? You know she'll go through it. And you know she'll go through some of the same things, probably not as much as what Sarah Palin did when she was the vice presidential running mate for John McCain, but you know that Hillary Clinton would go through some of that. Gee, what's Hillary going to be wearing when she shows up to this? Who cares? But you know the media will do it. You know people will do it. And it's ridiculous. But it's part of the process. So all of this, particularly this note that Bill Clinton's saying, well, it took 6 months for her to recover fully. It makes me wonder, if that's the case, would this be a sign that maybe she's kind of, I don't know. I don't know that that might not be such a good idea after all.
Yeah, she might be a little fragile.
Now, I'm not saying that she is, because before this problem, she really didn't have health problems, or at least not that you heard about. You know, she probably had the occasional flu like we all get sometimes, but she just really was not dealing with anything along those lines. But apparently, blood clot, passed out, concussion, yeah, that's kind of an issue.
Well, as you get older with age, sometimes you do become a little more fragile.
And it's something to think about. And, you know, for some people that say, oh, that's horrible. How dare you ask that question? Why not? We've asked the same question of how many people going back to Ronald Reagan. You know, don't forget in the debate they were asking, well, Mr. Reagan, you were tired at the last debate. And is there any doubt in your mind that you could respond, that you could be ready in a crisis situation, that you could be up for days on end? They asked that question. Now, he had a great comeback for it. We all know that. But it's been asked of how many different campaigns and how many different politicians. Bob Dole ran for office, and they asked him the question. They asked Bill Clinton the question, and he had a great comeback to it where he talked about, I'm not concerned about his age. It's the age of his ideas, which was great. It was a brilliant comeback by him. But they asked it about Bob Dole. They asked it about John McCain. There were even a few people that said, well, what about Mitt Romney? You know, and they didn't say it loudly, but they did say it. That question is out there, and I think it's appropriate to ask of anybody that gets into that position. Because let's look back. Look back as far back as George Bush Sr. What the presidency does to a person after they've been in office. I mean, just look at the before and after pictures. It's astounding what happens to people when they're in that office. They age.
They age at a tremendous rate.
I mean, you know, look at Bill Clinton looked young and hip. And I mean, he was, you know, every bit the vibrant, vital guy. And when he got out of office, he looked tired. Now, I'm not going to comment what he was tired about. You thought of that and I didn't. OK, so don't even bring it up. But there's the thing. I mean, even George W. Bush looked like an older man.
Yeah, he had gray hair. He had a lot of wrinkles that looked like when he got out of office.
And look at what's gone on with Obama. He's been in the office. He looked young and spry when he got in there, and he doesn't look so young and spry at this point. The office ages you because, let's face it, it is the most high-pressure job you could possibly have. The weight of the world is literally on your shoulders if you are president of the United States. And I think if that's the case, and it does age you, and think about what a president has to go through. I mean, George W. Bush dealt with 9/11. Barack Obama has dealt with Libya and Syria, and he's dealt with, you know, dealing with the wrap-up to the two wars, what's going on in Ukraine, the economy, fallout from Obamacare. I mean, you know, these are all things he's dealt with. And that kind of stuff will age you. And having Vladimir Putin sitting over in Russia kind of going, that part of Ukraine looks interesting. That's going to age you if you are president of the United States. Because there are some tough decisions there. So is Hillary up to it? And that's the question that she might very well be asking herself, and really Bill of her as well. Because think about that. What better advice could she get on the presidency than just going, well, Bill, what was it like? And she wouldn't even really need to do that because she was there. She was there as first lady. She would know what he went through, at least some of it, not all of it, because she wasn't in the Oval Office at certain times, apparently. And I won't bring that up any further. But the point is, there are things to be considered here. And I think the other thing to be considered here, and we brought it up here before, is the whole idea of having some sort of political dynasty. You know, you talk about the Bush family. Well, they've got that, and you know, it's like there's a Bush running for every office imaginable. There for a while, you had President Bush, and then you had two Governors Bush, and one of those went on to be president. And then you got Jeb Bush, who's thinking about running this time around. And, oh, by the way, there's George P. Bush. He's running for an office in Texas right now. So, yeah, there's a political dynasty there in the Bush family. But there is in the Clinton family as well, because you know, I mean, Bill, he was a governor and then he became president. And, you know, he was attorney general in Arkansas as well before being governor. And he was actually, what, governor twice or something like that? I don't remember. Anyway. But then after that, Hillary, well, I think I might want to run for Senate in a state I've never actually lived in. And sure enough, she got elected. And she wanted to run for president before. And honestly, let's face it, without Barack Obama and without the media's help for his campaign, she might very well be president now. So you know there's ambition there. But you also know there's got to be at least some wisdom there to say, can I do this? Is this something that I should do? Is this something I even want to do? I mean, we got a grandkid coming. Good grief. I want to spoil this kid. I mean, and who in that position doesn't want to spoil their grandkids? And you go, okay, spoil the grandkids or deal with Putin in Russia. Yeah, let's see. Which one am I going to go for?
Which is a better proposition?
You know, let's see. Yeah, the only problem with grandkids is, yeah, they might dirty a diaper, and guess what you do at that point? Here you go, Mom.
Change it.
Here you go, Dad. I'm smelling something. Go ahead. You know, so, I mean, and anybody that's a grandparent that has done at least a little bit of, you know what I'm talking about. You know, and Hillary's a regular woman. She's going to look at that and go, let's see. Work on the world stage through the Clinton Global Initiative and you know, occasionally come out, make a speech, make some money, and be a grandma after that. And you know, and then Bill gets to go gallivant around and do whatever it is he does, you know. Okay. Maybe that might be a better argument than go, let's see, spend 2 years of my life going to rubber chicken dinners and shaking hands with people I barely know and will never meet again. And hoping beyond hope that somebody else doesn't come along in the party that decides they want to run for president and then the media adopts them, because that's always a possibility as well. Somebody else comes along that's younger, fresher, more hip. Can you picture the media jumping on board with them and saying, Hillary, she's yesterday. She's yesterday's news. I think that would weigh on her pretty well. And I got to say, based on all of this, now there are some that would say she's inevitable. Why are you even talking about this? But I think it's an important discussion to have, because I'll tell you what, I think it's even odds. I think it's even odds at this point, because if you've got health concerns that you've got to deal with, you've got concerns of family, and you've got this concern that, you know what, in my latter years, yeah, I might want to just kind of sit back and retire. And you know what, there's plenty of people in the party that could run for it. The other thing to consider is, think about this. The presidency seems to change hands now about every 8 years. And you can say, well, you know, Democrats have ruled the roost the last two times. Well, think about that, though. Don't you think maybe in another year or so there might be some boredom and some real fatigue when it comes to Obama? And Hillary was a part of that administration for 4 years. That's not going to play well either. You could picture some governor somewhere that says, you know what, it's time. I'm going to run. And I think there are some good alternatives for Democrats to consider there. You know, and Democrats would say, well, we're not going to win if it's not Hillary. Well, you might. You just might. But you got to go out there and actually fight the battle and make the arguments and stand up for what you believe in and convince more people of it. And then you might end up having a winning campaign. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next 6 months with this. And we'll continue talking about this. Take your phone call about it as well. Maybe you think it's a done deal and Hillary is going to run, or she won't. Either way, I want to hear from you. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 803-73 if you'd like to text us as we continue ahead. Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Forty-four degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO, and the Jeremy Lawrence Show here with you. This portion of the program brought to you by Bronson Methodist Hospital. They've been named one of America's 100 best hospitals for spine surgery by Health Grades. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com. And we are headed to the phones here as we get ready to talk with Lloyd in Charlotte. Hi, Lloyd. Welcome.
Hello. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing fine, and you don't have to call me sir. That's okay.
Okay, well, I think it's an interesting conversation you're having, and it's one that I've seen touched on in the press several times in the last week, and that's the will Hillary run question.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I don't think she will, for all the same reasons you named, and I think if she does, she probably loses.
Now, that's kind of a strong statement. I think there's an awful lot of people, even on the right, that kind of believe she's a pretty formidable candidate. That's pretty strong, and she'd have to have an opponent that was equally strong.
Well, you know, and you sort of alluded to this. Barack Obama was a young, fresh-faced media darling. He had very little baggage, at least as far as what came out during the campaign. If Hillary runs, we're going to hear all about Vince Foster, the White House travel office, Monica Lewinsky, all the other Clinton-era junk comes back, and she has to deal with it. And it'll just be the same old, same old. Plus, she had it last time. The nomination was supposedly hers. Mm-hmm. She ran a prevent defense and basically lost the nomination. That was hers for the asking. That's not a really good record, in my opinion. I'll offer one more thing, too. I personally believe that some combination of Al Gore, John Kerry, and Joe Biden will give her a run for her money if she does choose to go.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have trouble believing that Biden's terribly serious. I mean, because he still has those, Uncle Joe moments, if you will, where he says something where he completely sticks his foot in his mouth. I mean, it's adorable now, but out of the guy that's got the top job, I don't think we like that.
Well, that's true. But, he has pretty much universal name recognition. He has all the IOUs you get from being a six-term senator. He was a foreign relations guy. Mm-hmm. And he's extremely healthy and energetic. It's not like he's going to be running to the ground campaigning against Hillary. I think it might be, if you put the two of them on stage, he's going to come across as the much more likely to do 8 years and walk away from the job.
Hmm. Well, could be. I'm not sure. Not sure.
And I think too, that there's always a possibility you'll get somebody completely off the radar, like a James Webb, who will show up and run a campaign that's very unorthodox. Mm-hmm. And that just happens to catch whatever the trend in the news is at that time, just right.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. Lloyd, I got to run. I got somebody on the other line, but thanks for your call today.
Yeah, thank you. You have a good day.
Okay, we move on to Tim in Kalamazoo. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, with the Hillary thing, everybody's playing games about is she going to run, not going to run. Up in the air. I don't care what anybody says. At the end of the day, the American people in 2008 got all in this rap and said, we're going to elect the first black president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we're electing the first woman. And people don't care. They don't care about anything else, about their policies, their politics, who they associate with. She's going to try to distance herself as she runs from mm-hmm. Barack Obama and everything else to be her own woman. But I'm telling you, she carries a lot of baggage. The Republicans are going to have this cannot be a Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton match down. And this we're done with this dynasty stuff. Mm-hmm. This has to be somebody who is come from behind.
Sure, sure. Tim, I got to run. I'm on top of the news. Thanks for your call. .43 in Kalamazoo. It is 4:37, 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. I wanted to set up a little something. We talked about this earlier. There's apparently a report that's talking about ways to be able to fund some of the, you know, because they've said over the years that, you know, with various things they've had where, you know, better fuel mileage and things like that, fuel taxes, the revenues are going down. And because we're using less fuel. I mean, this is the sort of thing we were told. This is good. We'll use less. And it is good because we're paying less.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, we're paying more at the pump, but we're paying for less gas overall. We're using less. That's a good thing. But this particular report, it was a report prepared for the Michigan Environmental Council by Sustainable Mobility and Accessibility Research and Transformation at U of M. Now, I tell you all that. I said it once, and I'm not saying it again because it's just big, long, and confusing. But the point is, they put together a report that said Michigan could solve road funding problems by doing one thing. Being one of the first states in the nation that would go to a system where it was sort of like a pay-as-you-go kind of thing. Pay a fee based on the number of miles you drive. Now, I found it kind of interesting that they've talked about this. They're saying, well, you know, it would be based on the number of miles you drive. And, you know, with that kind of mileage and that kind of thing, you know, we'd be able to solve the problems. But then there have been others that have come along and said, well, wait a minute, how are you going to find out what kind of miles I've driven?
Yeah, are you going to have to keep track of them in like a book or something?
I mean, well, and you've got that, and then, you know, there's deniability at that point. You know, it's like, well, it's, we'll fudge it here a little bit. Okay, yeah, I didn't drive that extra 5,000 miles. Nobody will know.
No, I didn't drive to work on that day.
But, you know, the big question is, how are they going to figure it out? And, you know, some people say, well, you know, they've got those, quote-unquote, black boxes that they're putting in vehicles and that those will be able to track how many miles and the whole bit. But there's the other thing. You're going to have sometime, whether it be annually, you're going to have to, you know, you stop in the Secretary of State's office and, all right, let's go out to your cars. Got to scan them. We got to figure out just how many miles you put on these things. Okay. First of all, yeah, let's gum up the process further. Okay, that's a good idea. We've already streamlined everything so it works. Let's make it not work.
I know a way around that already. You go to a place like Ford, you test drive a car, you drive it to the Secretary of State's office, like, oh, you've driven 5 miles this year.
Yeah, there you go. Wow, you haven't driven much.
Yeah.
You know, and this is, people would find ways around that if you ended up with that sort of thing. And then there's the other part. What about people who sell for a living? They naturally have to drive a lot. So are we now going to penalize people who are in that business? And God love them, I'm glad they're selling. I really am. But are we going to penalize people in that business because they got to travel to do it? And then what do you do with rental car companies? There's another one. All
yes.
Right. You know, you got 50 cars here, and you've driven them blah, 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 miles, whatever it is, and it's going to be something extravagant. Okay, well, guess what? That's going to cost you this. And then suddenly we're talking about more money coming out of our pockets. Now, they're saying replace the fuel tax with this sort of a tax. And they're saying, well, you know, you could get right on the beginning of this because there's not any other states that are doing it. And then they proceed to point out that California has already got a legislative proposal on it. What a shock. California. But they've said other states are looking at this. They said Texas, Minnesota, Florida, Wisconsin, and Nevada all looking at it. Nevada, of course, plenty of roads, but no people there. You know, so they'll make a lot of money off of that. But they're saying that this is an idea that could help raise money to be able to take care of roads a little bit better. Now, I think we're all for better roads. You know, we've had that discussion. We're all for better roads. But are we for better roads this way? We've already said, and a lot of people have said, they don't want to pay extra taxes. Now, maybe they do. I don't know. But do you want the government to be able to tell how many miles you've driven? And should it even matter? Now, I understand that. You're using the roads and, you know, based on that, well, it's like a usage tax, so to speak. You've used the roads this much, therefore you pay this much. Okay, Grandma, you haven't driven anywhere but church on Sundays? Okay, well, you're only going to pay this much. All right, I get that. I understand it. I don't know that I necessarily agree with it, but I understand it. But how do we do this? Do we do something like this? Let me know what you're thinking about this. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. 803-73 is our text number. If you just don't have time to stay on the line with us, you can do so via text, and we will share some of those comments with you as well. Now, somebody asked this via text. They said, miles in Michigan versus traveling outside of the state, and what about visitors or truckers from out of state? And there's another question to it. All right, what about truck drivers? What about people that are coming to visit pure Michigan? You know, that these are a lot of interesting questions and worth asking, I think. So what's your opinion on it? Let us know what you think. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 803-73. You can text us, just as that one person just did, and let us know what you're thinking about it. Let's head on to the phones right now as we chat with Joe in Galesburg. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the program.
Hi. How are you doing?
Doing just fine.
Good. I have a comment on your road issue, on okay. Your road improvement thing. Just an opinion I have. Why couldn't we just simplify everything and do toll roads like Indiana and Ohio?
Well, you know, it's something that has been apparently kicked around in the legislature. I don't know that it's been kicked around seriously. But I'll tell you the one thing, having lived in both of those states, the one thing that residents of those states know are the roads that parallel the toll roads. So there's not that many people on them.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's always a way around them. But, Joe, I appreciate it. It's an interesting idea, definitely. Thanks for your call. Let's move on here to Eric standing by in Kalamazoo. Hi, Eric.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Yeah, my comment is, you know, I'm just so sick of hearing how these guys have no money. Because through the last 10, 20 years, I see all these, you know, interchanges being up, you know, lit as bright as day. I did, my thesis on outdoor lighting, and that stuff's not cheap. Just let me put it that way. You get all these huge signs going up. You got all these cameras everywhere you go. There's all these cameras along the roadway. And you just got, you know, all this spending going on, on all these, you know, like, let's say icing on the cake, and you're ignoring the cake. I mean, I'm thinking if the roads are in that bad a condition, which they are, nobody's going to debate that, stop spending all this money on this frivolous stuff, like these tower lights that are lighting up these interchanges as bright as day, and all these cameras, and all these signs, and all these, I don't know, all these new guardrails they've been putting up with the cable and all that. You know, cut out on the fluff, and then, you know, you'll have the budget without raising the taxes.
Well, it's an interesting idea. You know, I think the other thing that occurred to me, you talked about all these signs, and I remember there was legislation that passed, I think it was in the last few months, where they were changing the names of some of the historical highways to pure Michigan byways. And, of course, you know when they do that, there's going to be new signage all along all of those roads. So why not just keep the old name and improve the road?
Well, there's that, too. Yeah, just cut out the nonsense and just, you know, got along fine with it out before. Like, my biggest thing is the lights. I don't know, but I recall that, you know, every car, 100%, without exception, has headlights. And, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere. I'm from the Detroit area, you know, originally. I'm just out here visiting. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you just see, like, interchanges that were just doing fine without it. Then all of a sudden somebody makes a decision. You got to put all these lights that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars a year just for each interchange to operate. And yet we're letting all these craters and all those other things, the road's just falling apart.
Well, you know, I have to differ with you a little bit when it comes to lights, and not everywhere, obviously. I mean, you don't need lights lining every interstate or anything like that. But I think there are some areas where if it gets to a point where it's raining hard and it's, you know, middle of the night, it's dark, and there's some roads tough to see. And I think some lights in some areas make some sense. That said, if you're going overboard with it, then, yeah, you know, then I'm with you.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want to see it because, you know, you travel in the southern states and you see these big, huge tower lights in the middle of literally it exits in the middle of cornfields where there's nobody at and there's no cities, no towns. And I sure would hate to see Michigan going, you know, down that direction because that's just, you know, that sort of thing is just a waste. Yeah, in certain areas, obviously, yeah, you should have them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it just seems like we're going in a direction where you see more and more of that sort of thing where you really don't need it.
Yeah.
Especially with today's budget constraints.
Certainly. You could have a point there. Eric, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
And 382-4280 is our phone number, 877-382-4280, if you are outside the area and want to make a call. Also, you could text us at 80373 as we continue to talk about this. What do you think? A per-mile tax. That's what they're talking about. And it's a report that was put together for U of M, and this is not anything that is before the legislature right now, so you know, don't get all up in arms and call your representatives and senators yet or anything like that. I mean, we're not at that point. But they're talking about this with the idea of, you know what, we could just take care of these fuel taxes are going down, so if we wanted to get money, we could pay by the mile instead of pay by the gallon. Interesting idea. What do you think about it? Give us a call and share your insights. I don't know. I mean, I'm not wild about it just from a privacy standpoint because I don't need the state knowing how often, where I drive, how much. And there's the other question that somebody brought up as well. All right, what if you drive out of state? What about out-of-state people that drive in the state? Let's think about this. Truckers that come across from Canada driving across the state of Michigan to go various places. That happens as well. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with, you know, and people have said toll roads? Well, maybe. But I can tell you from experience, from living in states that have toll roads, you find a way around them. You really do. There's not that many people that drive on them. Let's check in with Jim in Schoolcraft. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeremy. I just tuned in a little while ago and stuff, and I was thinking that all the ways they had to check and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think those computer whizzes are out there figuring out how to bypass that and the crooks?
Oh, without a doubt.
They can disconnect things and they can go for months and get no mileage at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out there.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, you know, they've got laws against that sort of thing, but you have to catch them first.
Well, counterfeiting's against the law, too, but they still do it.
Yeah, still happens from time to time.
I just thought I'd kind of run it by you.
Yeah. But
see what you think about that.
That is one thought, and you know people would do it if we ended up in that kind of system.
Certainly they would, and they'd figure out a way. They're probably working on it already.
Could be. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. Let's head on over here to Chris. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Hey. Well, we got a couple problems. You know, our state, like most of the northern states, are probably get hit pretty hard as far as maintenance goes because, you know, the weather just destroys our roads.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, the structure, you know, the our tax structure probably, you know, if it's the same as everybody else, probably isn't going to work for our situation. So something's got to change. If they did the per mile, they should step it then. Because there are a lot of people who, you know, they, you know, I talked to somebody today who worked in Goebbels, or lived in Goebbels, but worked on the other side of Pine Lake. So, you know, she's driving 40 miles, 30 miles each way every day.
Oh, yeah.
And that's you know, and what she does keeps the economy going. She's, you know, delivering a service and mm-hmm. and or a product. And so if you make it harder for her to go do that, you know, there needs to be a way to, you know, to not hurt the working people, but the people who, you know, live downtown and mm-hmm. And or are retired and don't have to drive all over. You know, they, you know, if they drive a little bit, they get taxed a little bit, and the people who drive more should pay a little bit more because we use the roads more. Mm-hmm. But it shouldn't be all on the backs of the people who, you know, drive so that they can deliver services and make products. So okay. maybe you know, there's a cutoff at, you know, like on your lease. You know, and most people have a lease. It's a 12,000 mile lease per year, and if you go over it, there's X amount of mm-hmm. of penalty. So, you know, maybe we step at, you know, 12,000 seems to be a common number. I don't know anybody who drives under 12,000 miles, honestly, but say it's 12,000 miles, you pay X amount per mile, and if you go above that, then, you know, it starts to, your per mile starts to decrease. So it's 1.5 cents, it drops down to 1.2 cents.
Hmm. Interesting thought.
So that you pay, so that the more they drive, the more they pay, but it's at a lower rate.
Sure, sure. Well, Chris, I got to run. I'm on top of a break. Yep. Thanks for your call.
Yep, see ya.
We continue ahead. Final segment here on the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. We've got Mike on the line. I'm going to get to him here in just a second as we've talked about this pay per mile thing. But Michael over in the producer's area is he's getting a little panicked here because we have not gone for dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia that he wants to ask you for some reason. So here's the deal. I've got tickets to go see Godzilla. This is on the IMAX screen at Celebration Crossroads in Portage. Great place to go see a movie. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phone lines and let you call in. And you've got to be able to answer dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia from Michael. So here's the numbers. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. And you have to answer this trivia question.
Who is the winningest NHL head coach of all time? And a hint, he used to coach the Detroit Red Wings.
There you go. Okay, so if you know the answer to that, four tickets to Godzilla could be yours. Okay, in the meantime, we've been talking about this idea of a different way of paying taxes for the roads. And Mike's been standing by on the line. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy. You know, I live in Kalamazoo. I have three offices, St. Joe, Kalamazoo, and in Marshall. And mm-hmm. so I do a lot of driving. I'm in all those offices at least two times a week, depending on the week. I think it'd be more of a pain in the butt to have to do any kind of reporting mm-hmm. per mile. And I still pay my taxes because I'm using more gas.
Sure.
But I think we would also be missing out on a lot of the extras, like people filling up gas cans for their lawnmowers,
mm-hmm.
people filling up gas cans for their snowmobiles, snowblowers. What about maintenance landscapers that have to fill up every day?
Mm-hmm.
We're also getting taxes for that, too. So that would be a loss, and I think it'd be something else to consider.
And I have no idea if the report actually considers all that, but that is an interesting idea I hadn't thought about, that, you know, there are those people that use that kind of fuel that, you know, it's not a quote-unquote motor vehicle, per se. It's just like a tractor or a lawnmower or something like that.
Right, right. Just something to think about.
Okay. All right. Well, Mike, I appreciate your phone call today. Thank you so much. And from what Michael is telling me, it looks like we apparently have a winner already. So
yes.
That was fast.
Yes, it was.
All right. So who is the winningest NHL head coach?
Scotty Bowman.
There you go. And he was the with the Red Wings for a while there, as I recall.
Yes.
So, okay, there you go. And who was it that won these wonderful tickets to go see Godzilla?
Jeff from Kalamazoo.
All right. So Jeff's going to get the opportunity to go check out Godzilla as it comes out Friday at Celebration Cinema in Portage. It is a fantastic place. Let me tell you, I mean, I go there for movies all the time, and it is a great, great place to be able to go and check out some movies. You know, ultimately, when it comes to this idea of doing a per-mile tax, I'm not wild about it. I'm not wild about it for a few reasons. First of all, I got family scattered all over the place. So as you can imagine, when we go to visit, we drive. So I'm not necessarily wild about that. But I don't like the idea of the government delving into my private business. If there's a way around that, well, maybe there's a way to do it. But, I mean, you got to balance it all out. It takes an awful lot of smarts to be able to do it, probably a lot more than you and I both have put together. Going to do it for the show today, but you know what? Let's get together and do it again tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Hope you're with us.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.